Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel. I'm Pastor Rob, and I just want to say thank you so much for being here this morning as we celebrate the empty tomb, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say thank you so much to our worship team who led us in wonderful worship to prepare our hearts to receive from God's word. And if you would, open your Bibles to if you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, that's where the area of text we're going to be looking at this morning. So Mark chapter 16. Also want to reach out. I know we were really hoping that we were going to be able to gather together on our Easter service, but the way things are in the world right now, not able to do that. So, but we are broadcasting from the church property this morning. Very grateful for that. And so we are so excited about what God's going to do with this property and has given us this home. And we're excited to be able to come together as a church one day in the near future and just enjoy this wonderful blessing from the Lord. Bible's open to Mark chapter 16. If you don't mind, I'd like to pray for us and ask God to bless this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for us. We thank you, God, that you are in control of all things, that nothing, nothing is impossible with you. We ask, God, that you would help us in this world, that you would push this virus back, that you would remove this virus from us, Lord, from this world, that you would protect those that are sick and protect those that don't have the virus right now, Lord, that you would keep us from getting the virus. We pray for those whose lives are in danger. We pray that you would protect them and heal them. And God, we pray that in our time here this morning, that we would spend time with you, being ministered by you, being encouraged by you. We want nothing more than to bring glory and honor to you. So bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're here this morning on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the empty tomb, to remember that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, just like he said he would. It's a reminder for all of us that anything is possible. Anything is possible. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that with God, anything is possible? Even in the midst of the world that we live in right now, the uncertainty, the fear, the anxiety, the weirdness of this social distancing, that there is a possibility that God is in control of all of it and that he will get us through. See, it's that mindset that we must have in the world that we're living in. See, when everything seems hopeless, God brings hope. So maybe you're feeling that way. Maybe you're feeling hopeless. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to respond. You're either getting too bored sitting around your home, or it's too weird just living in this world the way we do. God will bring hope. When everything seems helpless, God is there to help us. And when everything seems turned upside down, God will make it right. We must believe that. And I hope you do believe that this morning. I was reminded of an interesting story from many years ago. It was January 8th, the year was 2000. And it was the Buffalo Bills versus the Tennessee Titans. I was living in South Florida at the time. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. And Buffalo and the Titans were in a playoff game together. And I had made a friendly bet with a friend of mine that the loser would purchase lunch for the winner the next day at their favorite restaurant. And so as I was watching the game, towards the end of the game, Buffalo kicked a field goal to go into the lead, only leaving 16 seconds on the clock. I was almost certain that I had gotten victory, that Buffalo was going to win that game. And so I made a critical error. I made a huge mistake, one that I regret to this day. I can remember distinctly picking up the phone, calling my friend, and beginning to tell him exactly where I wanted to go to lunch the next day. As I'm on the phone with my friend, and I'm watching the football game, Buffalo kicks off, kickoff return. The Tennessee Titans receive the ball. They hand it off to the tight end, who then throws a lateral pass to the sideline. And the person receiving the ball runs 75 yards down the sideline to score a touchdown. As I'm still on the phone with my friend, I could just remember watching that man run, thinking, stop him, stop him, stop him. Well, needless to say, my conversation towards my friend of telling him where I wanted to go to lunch the next day turned into him telling me where he wanted to go to lunch the very next day. See, it was a lesson to me that make sure you realize it's not over till it's over. It's not done until it's done. And we learned that. I learned that on watching that football game. See, in football and in life, anything can happen and anything is possible. And that's what we need to remember as believers, that anything is possible. This is how we as believers are to live. We never put a period on the end of a sentence. Instead, we put a dot, 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 more to come, because God is in control of our destiny. God is in control of our story. And we must give God room to do what he wants to do, because anything is possible for God. Maybe there's something going on in your life that seems impossible, that seems like there's no way it's going to work out good. I want you to believe this morning that anything is possible. I want you to believe that God is still at work. God is still working his plan. He's still orchestrating events on your behalf, because that's the God we serve. So believe that. Just ask a teenager named David, with a slingshot and a stone, was able to defeat a 9-foot giant named Goliath. Talk about anything is possible. Talk about everybody looking around at David going, "Are you crazy?" No one believed that David would overcome Goliath. The odds were stacked against him. But David had faith in God, and that made all the difference. How about the fleeing Israelites as the Egyptians were approaching them? The only way they could escape was through the Dead Sea. And against all odds, against nature, the sea parted for them and they were able to cross on dry land, protected by God. Again, anything was possible. The unthinkable happened. Maybe that's how we need to be believing this morning. We need to be believing that the impossible can happen for those of us who believe. But how about the place called Golgotha? A place of the skull. A sealed tomb with a 2,000-pound stone in front of the empty tomb. Talk about impossible odds. Talk about losing all hope. The disciples had put so much faith and love and devotion into Christ, and they thought he was going to be their reigning king. But now this, he had died. With God, anything is possible. Though a stone covered the tomb, they discovered the tomb was empty. Anything is possible with God. Don't be too quick to come to conclusions. Be open to the possibility of what God might do. When the Lord is in something, he can do anything. Maybe you needed to hear that this morning. When God is in something, he can do anything. Maybe he needs to do something in your life. It might seem impossible, but do you believe he can? Just ask a handful of disciples who saw their Lord crucified only to find out that he had risen 3 days later. To go from such heartache to just such joy in a short period of time. I've always said, for the disciples, those 3 days were the longest 3 days of their lives. But man, what a joyous occasion happened 3 days later. Guys, let's believe that anything is possible with God. Let's believe against all odds there is a way for you to get through. There is a way for you to get to your destination. And God might not always give you everything you want, but he will get his will done. That you can be sure of. In Mark chapter 16, I want to read the story. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read right through the entire chapter. Read with me if you will, Mark chapter 16. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. They went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Amen indeed. So as we look at this story, I've always been amazed that these ladies would make their way to the tomb that Sunday morning. Never even thinking, never even considering the stone until they're on their way there. See, they went to anoint Jesus' dead body, right? They didn't expect him to be alive. They didn't expect Jesus to have been risen. They thought he was dead. They thought his body lay in a tomb. And they came to anoint him. And this was an act of love and devotion towards God and towards Jesus. Something that we can learn from here this morning. That our commitment and our devotion and our love for God should be something that motivates us to draw near to him. Again, very early in the morning, they got up to anoint the Lord Jesus. And on the way there, they thought, there's going to be something in our way. There's going to be a stone that's hindering us from getting to our Lord. And I always ask myself, is there something in my life? Is there anything that is hindering me from getting to the Lord? Are there obstacles in my life that keep me from God? It could be busyness. So much that we have to do. So many responsibilities. So many deadlines. Too many people wanting us to do other things that we don't have time to get to Jesus. What I love about these women is the fact that they didn't allow this stone to hinder them from continuing to go to the tomb. Very easily, very simply, they could have said, "Wait a minute, what were we thinking? There's a stone in the way. We're never going to be able to move that stone." Maybe they thought the soldiers would move it for them, but they just knew that it was a hindrance in their way. Guys, whenever we see a hindrance in our way, don't ever let that stop us from getting to God. What is stopping you from your devotion to the Lord? What is hindering you from spending that time with Jesus? See, the resurrection gives us hope. The fact that Jesus is alive brings hope into our lives. Because these women came again to anoint the dead body, but shortly after they get there, they're now told that Jesus is alive, and the hope that must have been restored in their hearts must have been powerful. And every single day of our lives, God has an opportunity to give you hope, to show you hope, to somehow reach into your life and let you know, I am here. That he lets you know that he is there with you. The resurrection is something that brings great hope into the heart of a believer. Don't let difficulties in your life stop you from getting to God, stop you from loving God. Love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That's what we need to be doing as believers. The stone was removed supernaturally. Think of the hope that they had when they got to the tomb and saw that the stone was already removed. And we must remember, like I do every Resurrection Sunday, remind us that the stone wasn't moved to let Jesus out. The stone was removed to let the disciples in, to let them see that he was no longer there. See, when God moves a hindrance out of your life, it lets you know, he lets you know that he is there. He lets you know that he's guiding and directing your steps. If there is something hindering you right now, if there's something holding you back, certainly the Holy Spirit can hinder us and hold us back. So you have to be sensitive to what God is keeping you from and what God is causing you to move towards. But don't let your mind, don't let your heart tell you, I can't get there because this is in my way. Ask God to move it. Ask God to remove the stone. See, the resurrection provides validity of Jesus' sacrifice. Had he not risen from the dead, there would always be that question. Was his sacrifice sufficient? Did God accept him? The resurrection tells us, yes, absolutely, God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus because he restored him to life, which brings us hope as believers. Resurrection brings hope. Anything's possible. God can bring us hope in the midst of this coronavirus. God can bring us hope in the midst of this difficult season that we're in because anything is possible. Do you believe that? Believing in Jesus, his resurrection proves that hope that we have all, that we will rise again one day. That even if we die on this side of heaven, one day we're going to be with him. We're going to be reunited and resurrected. It's a beautiful thing. Not only is it a validity of Jesus' sacrifice, the resurrection proves the ability for us to live in Christ. The ability for us to live in Christ. See, it's not a matter of us living the good Christian life. It's not a matter of us imitating what Jesus has done. No, the ability for us to live in Christ is that he rose again and is now seated at the right hand of God, fulfilling what he told the disciples, I must go back that the helper may come. Jesus is seated in heaven, but we are assured that the Holy Spirit is here with us, to be with us, to always be with us. The Holy Spirit is in you, is with you. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the beautiful thing, that the Holy Spirit guides and directs your life because he dwells in you. The Holy Spirit empowers us, enables us to fulfill God's purpose. The Holy Spirit is there to say, I need you to help someone. The Holy Spirit is there to put someone on your heart that you might pray for them, that you might connect with them, especially in these times of social distancing. We have got to seriously seek the Holy Spirit and find ways to stay connected even though we're at distance. It is so hard for me on a daily basis if I see someone at the grocery store, if I drive by, not to be able to pat them on the back or shake their hand. It's just an awkward thing. I'm so used to giving my friends a hug and staying connected with people. So we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he guides us and directs us. Look, when they entered into the tomb, they thought they were going to see a dead Jesus. They thought they were going to see the body of Jesus lying there, wrapped in grave clothes. But instead, they see this young man clothed in a white robe. Of course they're going to be alarmed. Of course, they didn't expect that. Never did it enter their mind that Jesus would have been risen from the dead. So instead, they see this young man who tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. I know this is blowing your mind right now, but remember what he said to you. And he tells them, go and tell the disciples and Peter that the Lord is going to reconnect with you. The Lord is going to come with you, come to you, and reunite with you because he's alive. And I love the fact that he reminds Peter, or he speaks of Peter. He says, tell the disciples and Peter. Listen, Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and it had to tear him up. It had to just mess with his mind, mess with his heart, that the last thing he did for his Lord was deny him. And the fact that Mary would come and say he is alive, and Peter, you're still on top of his list. You're still important to him. Because sometimes we all deny the Lord. Sometimes we all are in that place where we push the Lord away. And maybe we think, oh, God won't use me. I've made too many mistakes. I'm sure that's how Peter felt. Peter felt like, I denied the Lord. I'm of no use to him any longer. And Jesus reassures him by the message that, Peter, your life is still of value. God has a way of erasing our mistakes as long as we continually make ourselves available to him, as long as we continually show up. See, this verse is for you and for me. If you feel like you've ever denied the Lord or ignored the Lord's call or direction, this angel is saying to you and me, all you have to do is show up. All you have to do is make yourself available. God will use you. Anything's possible. He'll use you. He'll use me. That's amazing that God would want to use us. Imperfect individuals. But no, God wants to use you. The risen Lord gives you and me hope of better days. How encouraging it must have been for Peter to hear those words. Peter, the Lord asked for you by name. God is asking for you by name. God loves you. There's nothing you can do that's going to stop God's love for you. There's nothing I can do, although I feel like it all the time, but there's nothing that I can do that is going to stop Jesus from loving me. And that is really assuring. That is the hope that we have. Notice in verse 8, it says, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This word afraid doesn't mean terrified. It doesn't really mean what it means in the English word. It really means ecstatic. They were thrilled. They were overjoyed. They couldn't believe their ears that Jesus was alive. They were thrilled in this news. For these women who were devastated moments ago, coming to anoint the dead Jesus, to now know that Jesus' life, they were ecstatic. They were thrilled. They were overwhelmed with joy. Everything had changed simply because they rose early and went to the tomb. Everything changed because they were obedient to go and show their love and appreciation and devotion to Jesus. We have to push through. We have to push through the hindrances in our lives and get to Jesus. We must not talk about our obstacles and our schedules and our busyness and our demands and activities and say, we just can't spend time with God. No, none of those things should take the place of us drawing close to the Lord. None of this busyness. I would even say, and I would encourage us all, that we will find our abilities of our schedules and our busyness and our activities and all of the demands in our lives will be a lot easier to meet if we put God first. If we put the Lord out front, he will help you in your time of need. I am telling you 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes, an hour spent with the Lord, setting your day in order will help you throughout the day. He empowers you. He strengthens you if you will spend that time with him. To truly pick up the Word of God, to read the Scriptures on a regular basis and encourage yourself by God's Word, to spend time connecting with him. The stone did not stop these women from being ecstatic about their risen Lord. Don't let anything stop you. The second thing, not only does the resurrection bring hope, but the resurrection is a message to share. As I look at this text, two times people are told to go tell. The young man in the white robe tells the girls, go tell them. Go tell the disciples and go tell Peter. And then there's two people on the way that Jesus himself says, go tell. And he tells the people. And so there's an opportunity for us to share the message of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is great news. The fact that Jesus is alive is the good news of the gospel. To know that this great news needs to be shared with others. It's a message that we as followers must share with other people. It's a message that God wants us to share. The fact that these individuals had news of Jesus being alive moved them to go tell others, because they were thrilled at the news. It was such good news. It was their hearts and their minds had been instantly changed by thinking Jesus was defeated by death and now he's overcome death and is alive. They were thrilled by that. Have we lost the excitement and thrill of salvation? Have we become so inundated with outside influences that we've forgotten that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still a message that we're to get out there and to share with someone else? And in the place that we live in the United States, there are still people that don't fully understand what the gospel is. There are still people that don't fully understand that it's a finished work that Jesus has done that we might live. I mean, it's a message we must share to remind people that anything is possible. That no matter what you're going through in life, God can get you through. God can be there with you. The fact that no one believed should be encouragement for us that no matter what people's response is to the message still doesn't change. The message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again is still a message that people need to hear, whether they reject it or not. And so we must be the people that are willing to go out and tell someone else about the real gospel of Jesus Christ, pulling full hope in him and what he has done. I still believe there are many people in the world, in the church, that are trying to work out their own salvation, that are trying to keep themselves saved. Salvation is given to us as a gift from God. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We simply put our faith and obedience and trust in Christ, and that salvation is given to us. I would ask us all to spend time today asking God to help us connect with someone else. Maybe it's over the internet. Maybe it's on a phone call. Reaching out to someone, an old friend, a coworker, someone that you know is struggling right now. Just to remind them that salvation is still available to them through Jesus Christ. In reality, none of those are the source of our tears. In other words, the reason the message doesn't go out, the reason there was these individuals did not believe that Jesus had risen again was because, I wrote this down, it was the thief of unbelief. The thief of unbelief. It could not have entered their minds. It was an impossibility. No one believed that Jesus would rise from the dead. No one believed that he would do what he said he would do. The thief of unbelief. So we can be, these were fishermen. These were tough guys that were struggling with the fact that their Lord had died. And now this news has come to them, this good news that Jesus is alive, and they reject it. Because why? Because they're so focused on their loss that they're not exercising their faith. The thief of unbelief steals your joy. The thief of unbelief steals your commitment to God. Removes your ability to say anything is possible. The thief of unbelief steals that from us. Everything that God does, do you believe that everything that God does is an opportunity for him to show his goodness to us? Look at this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. All things. And I love the fact that it says, and we know that all things work together. We must know that all things work together. Everything is working together for God's good. God is using this pandemic for his good. We may not see it right now. We may not fully understand it. But I believe in the months ahead, weeks, months, whatever it may be, as we look back, we'll see, look what God did. Look what God did. I believe there's going to be an outpouring of people that are overjoyed about getting out of their house, about being able to connect with people. And I think people are going to connect more after this has all passed. And what a great opportunity for us to see good come from that as we connect with our neighbors and our coworkers, our families again, our friends again. I think it's going to be an amazing thing. So this time of difficulty and this time of separation, I believe God will use for good. Because it's our opportunity as believers to share the message for those that are so scared because they don't know what's going on. That's the message that we have. God said we are to give thanks in all things. To give thanks in all things. Because he has given us promise upon promise that he'll be with us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Do you feel him? Do you sense him? Do you know he's there? Man, there's nothing greater than knowing that God is there, that whether it's an anointing or just a presence or a peace that God gives to us, to know he's there brings an amazing amount of peace. Unbelief will steal your ability to believe anything is possible. Unbelief will say, no, can't happen for me. Unbelief will say, it won't happen that way for me, maybe somebody else. Unbelief says, it's an impossibility. Let us believe. It's all about faith in God. Notice, look at this quote, a little faith will get you to heaven, but a larger faith will bring heaven to you. See, it only takes the faith of a mustard seed. Jesus said, small bit of faith, and you can tell any mountain, any obstacle in your life to be moved. So it's not about the quantity of faith that you need, but it's about the faith that you exercise. It's about the faith that you believe that God is at work in your circumstances. Listen, we're in some interesting times when it comes to finances. We're in some interesting times when it comes to people's jobs. And things are going to be uncertain for a while. But we have to believe by faith that God is going to be with us. and will carry us through. If the disciples had believed in that moment that they were told that Jesus was alive, if they had believed just like Mary did, their sorrow and their weeping would have turned to joy. Had they just believed. Had they considered what Jesus said, I will rise on the third day. He told them. What has God told you that you've forgotten? What has God told you that you need to be reminded of? Because he said it, and if he said it, it will come to pass. The last thing. Not only does the resurrection bring hope, the resurrection brings an opportunity for us to share the message of that hope. Finally, the resurrection changes your faith. It strengthens your faith. It transforms your faith from unbelief to belief. That's what we see here. As Jesus, in verse 14, once again, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Once Jesus revealed himself to the rest of them, he rebuked their unbelief. Listen, he didn't rebuke their fear. He didn't rebuke their the denial. He didn't rebuke the fact that they scattered when he, you know, was arrested. He didn't rebuke any of that. What he rebuked was their unbelief. And he said, you must believe. Time and time again, we see Jesus tell the disciples, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why didn't you believe? As Peter stepped out of the boat, Jesus said, why did you not believe? It is our job to believe, and our faith changes. Once Jesus showed up, once Jesus revealed himself, then they believed. And what the fact is, Jesus rebuked their unbelief, but notice, he goes right into telling them what they must do. Verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? The Great Commission. Our job as believers to go into the world and preach the gospel. And many people will take this verse and look at it as that means go into world missions. You need to be going out into the world and you need to be sharing your faith every single day. But what this text really means, literally it means as you're going into the world, as you're living your life, as you're going to work, as you're going to the grocery store, as you're walking through the park, as you are living your life, preach the gospel. It's the life that people watch. It's your life that people are watching and keeping an eye on. Are you faithful in these difficult times? Are you faithful to come alongside people and help them when they're going through something difficult? It's believing. Jesus maybe needs to rebuke our unbelief. Maybe Jesus has to remind us that there's areas in our life where we're not completely faithful. Or you haven't put your complete trust in God. It could be your finances. You want God in every other area of life, but finances. You just don't believe that if you give them over to God, that he'll bless you. Jesus would rebuke your unbelief. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe there's a relationship that you're in today. That God is rebuking, that you're not believing that God either has that relationship or does not want that relationship in your life. Maybe you're being rebuked this morning. But notice he rebukes their unbelief, but then he immediately tells them what to do. He says, again in verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So he rebukes them for their unbelief, but then he turns immediately and says, go into the world. Go out into the world and tell other people about me. Go into the world and tell them what I have done. Tell them I've overcome death. Tell them that I am alive. My friends, we all have unbelief from time to time. But that does not disqualify us from serving the Lord. It does not disqualify us from going out and preaching the gospel. And I mean preaching the gospel, maybe not with your lips, but with your actions, with your attitudes. Let people see your relationship with God is real and is a joy for you. What does it actually mean to share the gospel? Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Notice Paul says, I delivered to you that which I also first received. It is our job to receive the gospel, to receive the fact of who Jesus is. The three things that he lists here, Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. Three elements of the gospel. That he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. We first must receive that before we can deliver it to someone else. We first have to accept that truth. That's the gospel. And do I fully believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again for me personally? Do you believe that in your life? Because if you've received it, you'll share it. If you've received it and received that truth, you'll want to share it with others. I have a very dear friend who, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago asked me if I would do devotions with him every morning. Of course, I love to do devotions with him. So for several weeks, we've been doing our devotions together pretty much every single morning, getting up in the morning and reading some scripture and reading a devotion and talking about it and encouraging each other. And because of this man's transformation in his relationship with God and the blessing that he's received as he's gone through this season of his life of devotions, nothing to do with me, everything to do with God, but how God has been speaking to him and the strength and the faith in God that he has had over this period of time has caused him. So he received from the Lord blessings. He received strength. And his faith has increased, so much so that now he wants other people to be blessed by it as well. So what he received from the Lord, he now wants to deliver to others. And so he has encouraged other people to come in to our time of devotion. And just this morning, there were 9 guys connected on a Zoom meeting, doing a devotion together and encouraging each other. And I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. And that's how God works. The gospel changes your life. Jesus changes your life. And if he's changed your life, you want other people's lives to be changed as well. So that's just a natural outflowing of what God does when he penetrates your heart that you want to help another. The reality is, Jesus rose again on the third day. That's what the Bible tells us, that he rose again on the third day. Something that no other religion can claim, that their leader, that their founder predicted their death, and then also predicted their resurrection. No one else. That's why the resurrection changes our faith. It changes our faith because we believe in a God that does what he says. That we can bank on the fact that he will do what he wants to do and what he says that he will do. You can bank on it. Listen. In this chapter, Jesus tells us, go and tell all the world. Go and tell. We've been commissioned to go out and tell other people. In chapter 1 of this same book, Mark chapter 1, Jesus had healed a man of leprosy. And Jesus said, tell no one. Don't tell anybody. But this man was so moved and so overwhelmed with the blessing of being healed of leprosy, he couldn't help but tell. He couldn't help but to go and tell others what this man did, what Jesus did for him. Boy, if we would have that heart. Because now in chapter 16, Jesus says, go out and tell all the world. And yet we're hesitant. Well, what if they say no? What if they reject me? Listen, they're not rejecting you. They will reject Christ. And you have to believe that every opportunity that you have to share about Jesus and your relationship with Jesus plants a seed in someone's life, plants a seed in their hearts. They may not receive right then and there, but I believe God will use you as a part of the process of bringing others to Christ. When Jesus first came into the world, he said, don't tell. When he left, he said, go tell everybody. I would encourage us all to really take this to heart, that God wants us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Why do we not? Why are we hesitant? I believe God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, can use us to encourage someone else to receive Christ. May we never forget that. And maybe you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Christ. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus has said here that I died, I was buried, I rose on the third day, and rebukes unbelief. And if you're here this morning and you don't believe, if you haven't given your life to Christ, or you haven't completely surrendered your will over to him, today is the time. This is the moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment to receive Jesus into your heart, to pray a prayer that says, I'm done struggling. I'm done unbelieving. Is that a word? I'm done rejecting Christ. I want to receive. I want to accept. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a moment. If that's your heart, and if that is your heart, God sees you. And God wants to draw you into his family. But I want us to notice one last thing here. As Jesus tells them to go into all the world, he says some things in verses 16 through 18. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I've always loved the Great Commission found in the book of Mark, because it says, those who believe, signs will follow. And it's not about the signs, it's not about the sensationalism of it, but it's for those who believe, God will use them. It's for those who put their faith in Christ, God will anoint with special abilities. An ability of faith, an ability of love, an ability of care for other mankind. And to trust God will take care of us. Signs should follow. We, as believers, don't follow signs to believe. No, we believe first and then signs follow. Is God using your life? Has God anointed you in a certain way and empowered and enabled you in a certain way to maybe share with people what God is doing in your life in a way that really just draws people in? God wants to use you, and he wants to use me. The question becomes, will we surrender ourselves to his authority? He can use you, because anything is possible. And here's the great thing. He will use you. The question becomes, will you allow him to use you? My prayer, my hope, is that seeing what Jesus has done for us would empower us and motivate us to be available to him to do anything that's possible. Lord, use us. Maybe that should be our prayer this morning. That, Lord, you would use us. that you would empower us by filling us with your wisdom and with your grace and your mercy to be available to our fellow man. That's what the world needs today. And perhaps God is allowing this virus to slow us down enough that we would take those times of connecting with other people. Listen, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God right now. And the Bible says that he is interceding on our behalf. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. I believe the prayers of Christ are the prayers that God answers. So it's really assuring to know that Jesus is praying for you. And if you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you would just pray these words again. It's not the words that I'm saying that have anything to do. It's your heart to believe that your desire to be a follower of Christ is all that is needed for God to come into your life, for Jesus to remove your sins, and for him to give you the Holy Spirit. So if you're here this morning and you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, pray these words with me out loud. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning believing you are the Savior. I've decided to open my heart up to you. I believe that you are the Messiah and Savior. I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me access to heaven because what you have done. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God and you are a part of God's family. I would encourage you to connect with another Christian. I would encourage you to get a Bible and begin to read the Gospel of John so that you can see the heart of your Savior. We rejoice with you. We rejoice with those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And the Bible tells us all of heaven rejoices when one sinner turns to God. And so we rejoice with you. We pray that you've been blessed this morning as we looked to God's word, as we thought about anything is possible with our God. I encourage you to go from this place and to believe like this more often, to believe that anything is possible.